All right, welcome back in. Hour number two on the last day of January, Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. All the storylines that you all want to consume about the upcoming Super Bowl.
You're here for it.
Philadelphia and Kansas City actually have not played very much since the merger. You got the two top teams. You got the two top MVP candidates. You got Andy Reid, who is coaching against his legacy. If they don't win in the Super Bowl, Philadelphia will have won two Super Bowls since he was fired with two different head coaches. If you're not vibing with that and you don't know that Jason and Travis are brothers, how about this one to spark the interest of Philadelphia and Kansas City? Better third baseman, Michael Jack Schmidt or George Brett?
Now, this is a debate I'm here for. I enjoy this.
Well, we know who had the better mustache, but...
Yeah.
George Brett ever had a gold mustache? I don't think he did.
If he did, no, I don't think
so. I see, without having...
no facial hair for George Brett.
Without having the numbers next to me, I still lean towards Mike Schmidt.
See, I'll lean towards George for argument's sake, but...
I mean, you don't have to lean that way, Jimmy. I think George Brett was the better third baseman. Three batting titles in three different decades.
I mean, just 1980 alone.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that was the year that Philadelphia beat
the
Royals in the World Series. I would take George Brett over Mike Schmidt.
Yeah, hemorrhoids are the worst.
Kansas City is better than Philadelphia. This is a proven baseball. Well, maybe not recently, but
back
then. George Brett, greater than Mike Schmidt.
You know, now
that's the stuff we need a media day.
The Andy Reid Eagles Super Bowl stint, that was just so weird. That was the TO.
There was a lot of drama.
Yeah, with the
Donovan McNabb.
They took their time on that drive down 10.
TO's playing with a broken leg.
Would have been MVP easily if
McNabb,
they won.
McNabb was throwing up. The game was in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it was just
cold.
It's one of those, and thankfully for Philadelphia fans, they had one of the greatest. I won't even say upset because that team was so good, but the fact that it was Nick Foles starting and not Carson Wentz, who was the clearly, as of now, the outlier of his career, was well on his way to win an MVP. But, you know, you're playing mighty Tom Brady and the Patriots. I mean, that and winning that in dramatic fashion and how fun that game was. I'm glad they have that memory to sort of offset what was just a very forgettable experience in their more recent Super Bowl matchup. So
you know a storyline that probably, well, it would have been a big storyline if Cincinnati would have been there, is how rare it is for somebody to win a Heisman Trophy, a national championship, and a Super Bowl.
Yeah. That is...
Devontae Smith has
got
that chance with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Woodson... Whatever you think about Michigan's national championship. Marcus Allen?
I think so. Heisman?
Yeah.
I believe he was part of the 79 championship.
So there you go. I'm giving you all kinds of storylines. Okay? Because I know that you're fatigued with the Chiefs. I get that. I understand that. I also wonder, in the world of sports where things come at you fast and we're on to the next shiny object. Like, I just want to remind people that Patrick Mahomes is still the number one quarterback. Look what he did on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, Dak Prescott loses his wide receiver. What happens? Aaron Rodgers loses his wide receiver. What happens? Patrick Mahomes loses his wide receiver. Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl and Mahomes is going to win the MVP. But there is part of the, I get there. There's, I sense a little bit, and it's not, well, Patrick Mahomes isn't as good as, no. People understand that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. And along came, you know, Joe Burrow, and he's the new shiny object. And there's other new shiny objects that play quarterback, and so you drift there. What do you guys think is the – and this is for –
but you're kind of seeing that in the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts a little bit now, too. You know, for a guy who's been kind of banged up yet is still a big part of the offense, still hurts people not only with his arm but his legs, too. And, you know, he's that sort of new breed of quarterbacks right now, too. So, I mean, that is part of this. Absolutely.
So, I sense some PM15 fatigue. I also sense Kansas City's in the Super Bowl for the third time in 4 years. There's a lot of us that live in this area that are Chiefs fans. Mitch Holtis probably does not help, who said, you're going to have to deal with us.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the window for us as sports fans to turn on a team? Because when Kansas City And Andy Reid might be one of the nicest people in the world. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Andy Reid in his personal life with his kids, it sucks. I mean, it's not good.
No.
But as a person, Andy Reid is one of the nicest human beings that is going. Okay. When the Chiefs were from Andy Reid, he's finally going to get his Super Bowl. You have Patrick Mahomes. He's doing things we've never seen before. The excitement that I felt like across the board as sports fans, people were rooting for Kansas City to win the Super Bowl, and they were generally excited because that was a new team, passionate fan base. You got a couple of characters. They're really, really good. And then they go back to the Super Bowl. And for the third time in 4 years, they're going back to the Super Bowl. You have a quarterback that in all of his seasons as the starter has made the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he has, if he wins the Super Bowl, 40% of his seasons he would have won a Super Bowl. He's been to the Super Bowl now in 60% of the seasons that he has been a quarterback. But there is just my sense, and that's my team, there's fatigue for the quarterback. There's probably fatigue for the act, the WWE star that is playing tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just fatigue because it's Kansas City and, oh, geez, here we go, third time in 4 years. I'm curious what people think, and this is across the board in all of our sports, in college and in pro, because I imagine Georgia football is going to enter
this discussion. I bet they're entering it this upcoming year.
How long is the window before we turn on teams?
I think it's 2 years.
I always say it this way, and this is where you can puff your chest out a little bit, Gary. If you get to that point with your team, that's a good thing. Fine. If you're hated, that means you've done something to be hated. The fact that we live in a time where many people will now be rooting for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, it's like Twilight Zone, but that means you've done something good. And I'm saying this because this is what happened with the Spurs. Nobody paid any attention to them. Yeah, they won. That's cute. Ah, they won another one. That's cute. Then they become the evil empire. They become hated. And they had those run-ins with the Suns by 2007 where it's like everyone was sick and tired of them. Once they become sick and tired of your team, that means, wait, they only become sick and tired because we keep winning. Oh, well.
Yeah. Let me use this example. I'm convinced it's 2 years, especially if you're back-to-back into those big stage moments. But I like that you went there with the characters because you got to have some of that as well. I'm going to use the Warriors as an example. Because remember when the Warriors first got on the scene, it was cool. Like, Steph, you got this little dude who's just an assassin. And, I mean, this guy is just knocking him down from everywhere. He's kind of a likable guy. You know, he's just very unassuming. But then you also have Draymond Green, who's kind of the jerk.
Yeah.
The guy who kind of takes a little bit of that edge into every matchup. And so there's a focal point, but there's someone you can get behind. It's kind of a cool story. And at the moment, you like we considered Draymond Green as... dude's kind of the enforcer. Every team needs one of those. Then the next year, it's, God, that guy's a jerk. Okay, he's all over the place. He's crossing the line. I mean, he's dangerous. And all of a sudden, you got Steph. Man, if I got to hear more about how good of a three-point shooter Steph Curry is, you know, oh, my gosh, and Golden State is back in it. It's amazing within just 2 year time frame. How many people were rooting for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in that matchup because they were seen as sort of the underdog? But I think a lot of it also had to do with Warriors fatigue in that situation. So I think the characters matter. I think how much of the spotlight, those primetime games, even the regular season, that team is occupying. And we get why they are, because you're the defending champion. And especially if you have a decent-sized market, you're going to get a lot of those primetime matchups. So it's the visibility throughout the season. But then to see them back on the big stage with the characters that are involved, because I could make a strong point that you could put Mahomes and Curry kind of in the same neighborhood there, and you could put Kelce and Draymond Green. Not that Kelce's out there injuring people, but he's very outspoken. He doesn't care what you think. So the characters matter. If you had like this group, like sort of like the Patriots. Now, see, the villain there was Bill Belichick because he's kind of grumpy. He doesn't say a lot. It's like, God, dude, give us something. But you also had like what appeared to be these robots. It's like these guys don't have fun. Gronk's kind of fun to get behind, but man, he really reins it in during games. You get to a certain point that the characters of it, the players in this point, they matter. Those personalities matter. And so I do. I still think it's 2 years where you can go from, man, this is a great story. I haven't done it for a while. I'm like, oh, them again?
Rich Eisen had a great tweet Sunday night after the game, and it kind of goes to what you're both saying. He's talking about Patrick Mahomes. He goes, if there's a reason why we fawn all over him, there's a reason. And he was talking about, obviously, that last play. So this all plays into people just get tired of hearing about you. And that it's just the natural cycle of any.
Well, you bring up Georgia. They're entering into that this year. Because
they're Alabama.
What did we like about Georgia at first?
8-4.
They weren't Alabama. Finally, somebody other than Alabama. And they just so happen to beat Alabama. Oh, my God, we love them. Last year, like, gosh, Georgia's in it again. They're a damn good team. But, man, TCU's a fun story, man. I really want to get on board TCU. Georgia, I don't want to see win. We all knew Georgia's probably going to win. But, like, I my heart tells me TCU, better story. Well, that didn't happen. In fact, they got smoked. So now you're not only winning back-to-back, but you're going into the third year as you've kept Alabama at bay enough to where we're like, oh, gosh. Just think, if Georgia makes the national championship game again next year, we'll be like, oh, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Mm-hmm. Hang around long enough to be the villain.
So I agree here. The 2 to 3 years, KDH68760 on Twitter, he said about 2 to 3 years, Chiefs had everyone wrapped around their finger. Then the Mahomes family got vocal.
That's the other one, too.
Characters.
Hey.
And living down there, that
I don't care about the family. They didn't throw a pass, okay? They didn't have to find a wide-open Marcus Kemp on Sunday night who had been on the field for 10 snaps this year. That just adds to the legend.
Make a part of it.
Chief fans were the new money family on the block who hadn't done anything in years, but being jack wagons and the media has a short attention span on teams. 2 to 3 years is the window before we turn on teams. College football is a good indicator of this. Georgia, Alabama, Clemson. Like, Clemson was, you know, hey, man, they're new.
Yeah.
Dabo is different.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson is, oh, my gosh, what he can do.
Mm-hmm. Another good example.
And then, you know, they won a title.
Yep.
They brought in another hotshot quarterback. I would say the Clemson window was about 2 to 3 years, and we've kind of turned on Clemson in the college football world. Nebraska football back in the 90s, was the same way. Remember, they were the darling in 93. Because even though you were going against Bobby Bowden, it was T.O., and is he finally going to get it? And then the way the game ended. And then 94, and it also happened to be who you were playing in the Orange Bowl, Miami.
Warren Sapp.
Everybody was rooting for Nebraska.
Yep.
So they finally get their title. And then they turn around, and they are one of the most dominant programs in 95. In 96 is, oh, geez, there's Nebraska again. And then in 97, I felt a ton of national fatigue towards Nebraska.
Yep.
So there you go. So the window, essentially, before we turn on a team is 2 to 3 years.
And you know what's a good side of it?
And like you were alluding to earlier, Jimmy, sorry, Nick, is that's something that's like the proverbial feather in the cap.
Yeah,
hey, you did it.
We got people to turn on us.
Yep, it is. It's true. And you know what also kind of drives that point home is you mentioned 96. Remember sort of, and social media didn't even exist, but I remember sort of this national jubilation when they get blanked at Arizona State. You go back to back, and as you mentioned, it was a really good run. People were excited about it and like, oh my gosh, and then they take down Florida in the fashion they did. And then the following year, you get beat, 19-0 against Arizona State. And it seemed like there was more giddiness in the national scene because I think they were ready to move on to another team.
Or when John Makovic goes like this on 4th and 1 and they go for it and end up winning.
And remember, in Texas was a major underdog in that game, too.
Texas was not Texas.
James Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's true. It's, I mean, the fan base itself, obviously, it doesn't exist with them. But real quick, I want to ask you another, when we talk about sort of the characters involved, how much of a, you mentioned the family, how much of the Brittany Mahomes part of it, do you think gets a little? Because I feel like even when she's not probably trying to be the center of attention on stuff, she just people want to have that narrative like, oh, here's Brittany Mahomes again, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
In the market itself, it had gotten to be so because it became like, you know, a block on the news there, and it was just whatever they're doing. So if you're obviously a Chiefs fan, there you eat it up, and even some of them are probably tired of it, but. If you are the, you know, many people within the market that are the exact opposite, that do not like the Chiefs at all, it just became overkill to where you're like, man, you're making me really not like someone who actually is a really good dude and a great player.
Yeah.
I separate them. She isn't, and his brother isn't, and mom and dad, and grandma who was pounding Coors Lights after her bet Sunday night.
Okay, that part's cool. I don't care what
they're not. They're not throwing passes, so I can separate them.
That's good.
He's an A dude.
Yeah.
So maybe a little bit of that, but people find. I mean, we quickly move on in the sports world. I don't know.
Look how fast they're ready to jump on Joe Burrow Sunday night.
Well, and okay, so. You know, there's a lot to like about Joe Burrow, and he's about to get paid, and there's a good story there. How long before we turn on the Bengals?
Exactly.
Now, it might be tough to ask around here because who the head coach is.
Yeah.
And you got Cam Taylor-Britt, who is going to be a budding, really long-time starter in the NFL. And you got Stanley Morgan Jr. on the roster. So there's a lot of connections to the Bengals, so it might be a little bit different around here. But how long before people are like, you know what? As long as you got Eli Apple on the roster, man, I got no time for you. And that would be about 2 to 3 years, especially if the Bengals, like next year, don't get back to the Super Bowl and win it under Joe Burrow.
I'll go one step further. What we appreciate about Joe Burrow, the personality, you've said it many times. Like,
you set it up.
He's that guy that I want to like, but man, is he cocky? You know, there's a confidence, there's a swag. And right now, because they haven't won it, it's endearing. It's like, yeah, that's my guy. You win it, dare I say, even win a couple Lombardi trophies in a matter of like 3 or 4 years, that swag, that confidence, that cockiness will be used against him. It totally will. It'll be part of the narrative of I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this dude always just sitting there all smug like. It will be used against him, fair or not.
Hey, he's playing with house money right now. He got outplayed. He got outplayed by a guy that was 60%. Got outplayed on Sunday, and he kind of got a pass. I mean, it has no effect on his legacy, and Joe's going to be fine. And as long as they manage that roster, and number 9's playing quarterback, Cincinnati's going to be in the mix every single season. But he did get kind of a pass. Maybe it's because he was missing 3 offensive linemen. I didn't think he played well on Sunday.
Offensive line the way it was a year ago, I would argue that he played better in those moments than he did in that game.
All right, Sam McEwen is coming up next on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone. Hey, you can shop Buick GMC first and experience the difference. They got the large showroom. You don't have to worry about the elements outside 119th and I. So you can check out all the new and pre-owned inventory, and your eyes and your body might wander over to the truck section where you'll find the GMC Sierra 1500. It's the light-duty pickup truck. They got 8 different models. They got Super Cruise. They got GMC Pro Safety, Pro Grade trailering system, multiple pro tailgate. They've got all the amenities that you want. Leather seats. Oh, yes. Find out more at Woodhouse Buick GMC, 119th and I. Or you can go online where they've completely streamlined the process. They make it easy on you. This is not going to be difficult when you deal with Woodhouse Buick GMC. Check them out online, woodhousebuickgmc.com. GMC, we are professional grade.